Produced by Jeffrey Casellas, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, VR Hoisington, and Wayne Hall, this is Yes Music Podcast episode 371, John Anderson's Open.
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 371 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulryan, and co-host Mark Anthony Kay will be along a little bit later on. You can always get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. This week, Jeff Bailey pointed out to me another gaping hole in my knowledge of Yes and the surrounding music. It's John Anderson's EP or single, depending on your viewpoint, Open, from 2011. So Mark and I have listened to it and share our thoughts later in the episode. Over in the Patreon community, we had a short interview with the next of our featured authors. This time it's Stephen Lamb, author of Yes, Every Album, Every Song. He was kind enough to send two copies of his book to our Patreon competition winners, and he also set a question for patrons to win one of two copies of Key Studios. If you'd like to get involved with supporting the podcast financially and having access to all the exclusive patron-only activities, then head over to Patreon, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast for all the details. On Facebook this week, Yes unveiled the 2019 Roger Dean Yes logo. It's a simple one with a lovely orange and blue colour scheme, and I posted Mark Jacobson's exhortation to listen to EH in the UK, Eddie Harris's London Sessions, on which Alan White, Tony Kaye and Chris Squire all play. It's not something I've come across before. It would have been Chris Squire's 71st birthday this week, and to celebrate, Miguel Falcao released his fantastic bass cover of Then from Time and a Word. You must watch the YouTube video. I bet you'll be as mesmerised as I was with the complexity of the bass line and the way Miguel covers it. Once again, I had no idea this was going on in the song. I don't think I'll be choosing this one for my debut on bass guitar. Some great rehearsal photos from John Anderson and his 1,000 hands emerged, and Mark shared his latest behind-the-scenes video. I shared Gordon Stone's Yes Find. It's from 1998 at the FNAC, although I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it, store, in Paris, and features a partly unplugged performance during the Open Your Eyes tour, as well as lots of footage of the preparations and questions, with Anderson entertaining the audience and strumming through one of his solo works. It's a fascinating view of the band at the time. I've put it in the show notes for this episode, as it's really worth watching. We could do a whole episode on it, and perhaps we will. You need to see Steve Howe's facial expressions and reactions to playing Owner of a Lonely Heart on his acoustic guitar. The news that the first Yes album is to be released on coloured vinyl for Record Store Day emerged, and John Dee found a rare audio recording of the 1980 tour in Boston, which is interesting. In the visitor posts, Adrian Bell played Life on a Film Set from Fly From Here Return Trip on his movie-themed show, and over on Twitter I posted the current rumours that there will be a short US tour this year on the Yesterful pattern, so including several other bands, and that Patrick Mraz is unlikely to be involved with Yes live until next year. Amongst the other highlights, Henry Potts shared a Rabin-esque post, which has an overview of the ARW current position, based on lots of interviews. Basically, we don't really know if the band is coming back, but it certainly hasn't been confirmed that it won't. Brian Neeson posted all the most recent prizes which are up for grabs at the Prog in the Park festival he's organising, which include Yes and Jeff Downes items, along with lots of others, and Brian Dilley showed off his birthday present from a few years ago, which is Awaken lyrics in the shape of a treble clef. Very nice. Simon Barrow continued to post amazing things from his Yes Solid Mental Grace account, including some kind words about last week's episode. And David Watkinson instigated some fun by posting a K Shoes advert from 1977, which used the cover of Going for the One as its model. He asked us to come up with Yes song titles which could be messed with to produce footwear puns. My poor efforts included Elias of Sun Heel, O, and Sock to the System. There were many better ones. Jeff Bailey sent through several interesting things, including a great collection of Yes trivia, some of which I hadn't heard, and you can see that in the show notes as well. Thank you to all the commenters who spent quite some time discussing Awaken on last week's show notes, including Jeremy North, Peter Saint-André, is that how you pronounce your name, Peter? Ian MB, Ken Fuller, Andrew, Tim Stannard, Jamie McQuinn, and H.G. Pedersen. And many thanks, of course, to everyone who's been in touch in any way this week.
Hello, this is Patrick Mraz, and you are listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Recorded in 2010 and 2011 and released on 25th of October 2011, John Anderson's EP Open passed me by almost completely. So, as I said above, I'm indebted to Jeff Bailey for reminding me of his existence this week. I've heard parts of it, but I've never taken the time to sit and listen properly. You may find this all a bit puzzling because, by all accounts I can find, Open is a fine extended work. But I think I had other things on my mind around this time, and this Anderson gem, as Progressive Attic puts it in its review, was only released as a digital download, initially only via Apple iTunes, but now available on a variety of other services as well. I released episode 9 of the Yes Music podcast on the date Open was released, which was about, say it with me, Tomato! And Yes themselves, featuring Benoit David in Anderson's place, were getting ready to promote their new album Fly From Here with UK dates. Interestingly, and perhaps contributing to the obscurity of Open for me, Martin Popoff tells us that Anderson released Survival and Other Stories in June 2011, and with Rick Wakeman a live recording of their show based on The Living Tree in November. Popoff doesn't mention Open at all. However, the aforementioned Progressive Attic gave what it calls the Anderson single 4 stars out of 5, and ProgressiveRockCentral.com summed it up like this. Open is one of the indispensable progressive rock releases of 2011, demonstrating that John Anderson is still one of the great creative forces in the genre. So I really am very late to this particular party. In common with Anderson's Thousand Hands project, the list of people who worked on the EP is as long as your arm, although several have more than one role, it seems, and includes some interesting entries like string arrangement, writing credits to Anderson himself and additional music by Stephen Podell, African drums, and a lot of people on vocals, including John's wife Jane, who supplies Angel vocals, apparently. Podell seems to have also been active in creating soundtrack-type music for TV and video games, although I can't say I've heard of him. Do let me know if you have. He's previously worked with Anderson to orchestrate various Yes songs and the John and Vangelis classic State of Independence for a performance Anderson gave with the Cleveland Contemporary Youth Orchestra and its 60-member student chorus. You may have seen the YouTube video of the documentary about the event. If not, I've embedded it into the show notes for this week's episode. The original press release is included on the Discogs place for Open, and there's a quotation from Anderson himself. He says, in typical style, "Forever taken to that place of understanding are the first lyrics of Open, as though I am always remembering my true musical journey. To create this work, I sat with my 19th century guitar and strummed ideas last spring in 2010. Songs just poured out of me that week, and before I knew it, I had created a long-form musical idea. And with the help of Stefan Podell's powerful orchestration, we put together what is now Open. It has 4 movements all intertwined and seems to have a life of its own. For those who love this kind of music, I feel so happy to present it as one of many I hope to create over the coming years. My love, Janie, has helped in production with her unique musical observations and her angel voice. I'm so happy and thankful. Many blessings, John Anderson, October 2011. So, he seems to have been pleased with it anyway. There are 4 movements, as John said, to the almost 21-minute piece entitled Sun is Calling, Please to Remember, Who Better Than Love, and Sun It Sings You, / Given Chase. As always seems to be the case nowadays, that whole piece is available on YouTube, so what does it all sound like? Well, it opens with strings and glockenspiel, followed by a lovely theme on oboe and then French horn. The orchestral textures increase gradually, and it's a highly tantalising mix, which suddenly explodes into a vamping full orchestra, highly reminiscent of aspects of Magnification and John and Vangelis. And that's not a criticism. It's a heady and attractive mix. Orchestration is high quality, as good as on Magnification, at least here at the opening. I think this is all synthesised, perhaps, but fortunately the technology has advanced to a point where it doesn't detract from the music, and particularly the strength of the arrangements. It's clear it could be played by a real symphony orchestra to great effect. Vaguely Eastern-sounding guitar figures are integrated, and then a cinematic section with strummed acoustic guitar leads to the first Anderson passage. His voice sounds quite fragile, and the vocal treatment reminds me of the Anderson-Stolt invention of knowledge approach. If you like that version of John Anderson's output, then this is definitely for you. There's some quasi-Steve Howe acoustic guitar, which adds more than a hint of Yes, and then a Hollywood Chinatown texture takes over. That's probably an unfair description. There are gamelan-type sounds, which are integrated well, below Anderson's continuing highly attractive vocalisations. Rock band plus orchestra continue to ramp up the excitement, and it never feels cloying or bolted on. It's a great piece of symphonic writing. Anderson's vocal shapes become even more like those of Magnification, which added to the orchestrations perhaps moved this piece towards a Magnification 2, and for me, that's no bad thing. It prompts the obvious question, is this what Yes music could have sounded like rather than the return to the 80s Fly From Here material? Yes, it could, and I would have loved this to have been Magnification 2 with the addition of the other Yes members and released in about 2005. Then perhaps we could also have had Fly From Here. The lyrics are suitably Anderson-esque, as are his own backing parts. The music moves effectively between different time signatures, and the soundscape is a complex and effective one. Passages from New Language on the Ladder are almost quoted verbatim in the vocal melody a number of times, but they end up being echoes and not distracting ones, like the several other instances of Yes being self-referential on studio albums. Elias's sound world also makes an appearance, and there are enough changes of texture and feel to keep the listener rapt and wondering what will happen next. Like the best Yes epics, it's constantly reinventing itself and seems to steer clear of the dangers of formlessness. I can imagine listening repeatedly and getting to know and enjoy Open's musical corners. There's more tuned percussion and movie music in the middle of the piece, which ebbs to a recapitulation of the opening strings passage, this time enhanced by lovely violin, cello and piano solo passages. Without the aid of track numbers, I can't really tell where each movement starts and stops, but I think we have now moved into a new part with more acoustic accompaniment to Anderson's singing about open hearts opening doors. His voice is a little stronger now, but it still sounds a lot weaker than it is now, in 2019. This is a great song and creates an oasis of calm after some of the preceding high-intensity music. A short passage of this style returns us to the orchestral feel, and we realise that the themes are intertwined throughout the whole piece, creating a secure character for the work, rather than it being a strung-together collection of disparate parts. There's a welcome return for the gamelan-sounding percussion bed, and some attractive electric and acoustic guitar soloing, although perhaps it does leave you wishing for a proper Steve Howe part. I'm also reminded strongly of parts of my second favourite John Anderson solo record, Change We Must. The music builds once again with fascinating, insistent, percussive, full orchestra accompaniment to Anderson's declamation of fragments of important lyrics. It's an effective ending to an immersive and solid work, complete with Anderson trademark finger bells in a tiny, soft epilogue. Overall, I've really enjoyed listening to Open this week.
Greetings, friends. So this week, Kevin and I are going to be doing another discussion over a question that was proposed. And that question is quite simply in regards to the album Open, which is a John Anderson solo EP that was an actual digital-only release. And the question is Open the type of album that we expected A Thousand Hands to sound like? Or is Open the album that we hoped the new Yes album would sound like? A very interesting question. Now, just some background information on Open for those of you who may not be too familiar with the album. It was released in 2011. It, in fact, is one long song, 20 minutes long, almost 21 minutes, and it's broken into four pieces. Part one is Sun Is Calling. Part two is Pleased to Remember. Part three is Who Better Than Love? And part four is Sun It Sings You / Give and Chase. The music and the lyrics were written by John Anderson, with additional music by Stefan Podal. Now, there's quite a bit of people credited on this song: John Anderson on vocals and acoustic, Stefan Podal on music, orchestration, 6-string and 12-string guitars, classical guitar, electric guitar, percussion, bass, and additional vocals, Zach Page on classical and electric guitars, Kevin Shima on acoustic guitars, Zach Miller on piano and organ, Alexander Cutler, John Fink and Susan Lerner on string arrangement and recording, John Hobart on percussion, Stefan Jonica on drum kit and African percussion, Charles Scott on drum kit, Jane Anderson, his wife, on the angel vocals, and then we have a bunch of people: Robert Foster, Ian O'Rourke, Madeline Frey, Jacob Stringfellow, Aaron Wolf, and Amy Stevens are credited for choral via Cal Poly a cappella group. I'm assuming that means California Institute Polytechnical a cappella group, I'm guessing. So let me first say this. I really like this piece. It's really well done. Probably one of the best pieces John Anderson has done solo, probably in his whole catalog. It has some great keyboards in there. In fact, the introduction of the song very much reminds me of Close to the Edge. It has that kind of feel to it, I find. In the whole beginning, there's a lot of nice orchestra parts. There's some really nice guitar soloing. The bass guitar sounds fantastic. There's a lot of great classical guitar work. And then, of course, as far as John goes, some great vocals, strong melodies, lots of really good harmonies. Also piano. There's some great piano parts in there. Halfway in the song, about the 10-minute mark, there's some really standout piano and lead guitar playing in there. So overall, while listening to this, there's a lot of things that come to mind. Number one, this song could easily be done by Yes, in my opinion. But before we talk about that more, let's address the Thousand Hands question. Is this the album that we thought Thousand Hands would sound like? Well, I would say no. The reason why is because I just didn't know, quite frankly, what to expect with a Thousand Hands, because as I've said many times before, John Anderson has become so unpredictable as far as what he's doing musically, that you never know what he's going to do. He's constantly working on like 8 different projects at once. Sometimes he's trying to do some orchestral stuff. Sometimes he wants to do a solo acoustic guitar thing. Other times he wants to do a more progressive sort of thing. You just never know where, you know, he's going to land on any given day or any given time in his writing. The fact that we actually, though, have a full album coming out of completed work is great, because he's, like I've said, he started a lot of different projects and a lot of them have not been completed. So I am happy that A Thousand Hands is coming out. Did I think it would sound like this? No, because like I said, we don't know what he's going to be writing like. And this song is very, very much of a strong progressive style, I find. And the Anderson Stolt album that he did, I think, is probably the closest thing I can compare it to, even though it doesn't sound nearly as good, I don't think, in comparison. That's just my opinion, of course. And now, if we address the question about, is this the sort of album or song that we hope that Yes will do? I would say yes, I hope, mainly because it's very strong. And when I hear it, I can hear all the members of Yes taking all the parts that are in this song and giving them their own touches to it and turning it into a really standout song. Like, I can totally hear Steve Howe playing those classical bits and just expanding on it and turning it into more of a Steve Howe flavored piece. The piano work is really good. I mean, Jeff Downes could definitely do a lot with this. Even though the piano reminds me a little bit more of the style of Rick Wakeman, but Jeff Downes can definitely do something with this. The bass playing is right up Billy Sherwood's alley. The only thing on this piece that's seriously lacking, so I can't make any comment about the other member of the band, is that there's not a lot of drums on this. In fact, I don't think there's any drums in here until at least the 15-minute, 45-second point of the song. So if there's one thing that this piece is seriously lacking is drums. And if there were drums in it, I could definitely see Alan White, you know, putting a good spin on it with his style of playing. And I think it definitely needs drums. There are a few points in the song where it just seems like it's crying out for some drums to kind of lift it and give it that extra push. Now, the funny thing, though, too, as I mentioned at the beginning, how this song reminds me of Close to the Edge as far as the introduction goes, another album that this song reminds me of is Magnification, and that's obviously due to the fact of the orchestra that's used in here. There's a lot of different orchestration parts in here with violins and horns and all kinds of stuff and African drums. So there's the obvious Magnification comparison. And also I find that there's a bit of an ABWH flavor to this as well. When we start talking African drums and percussion like that, you can't help but think of Bill Bruford, who loved that sort of stuff. And during the ABWH times, he may not have used, let's say, too much African drums, but he had the means on his drum kit, the electronic one, to sample those types of drums. And he had something like that available to him when he was doing stuff like Lift Me Up on the Union tour. So there's obvious Yes comparisons in this song. So do I hope that the new Yes material will sound like this? Absolutely, because if they write something along this as far as style, I think they'd be on the right track and we'd be in for a really fantastic Yes album. So those are my thoughts on this song, Open. I'm curious to hear what Kevin has to say.
So John Anderson's slightly under the radar, as I put it, Open. And Mark is with me now. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So back in 2011, were you aware of this release at all?
Back in 2011, no. But I actually did stumble upon this because I had followed another podcast, just a total look at progressive albums in general. And he did this really early on in his series of episode. So I was aware of it, but not at 2011.
Okay. So it was digital download only. Now, I'm sure people will get in touch and tell us exactly why that happened. But first of all, why do you think he made this decision, John Anderson? And do you think it really did hamper the people's knowledge of this really good piece of music?
I think he did it because in his eyes, it's not an album. It's just a song. And he probably approached it like a single, right? And back in those times, obviously, you know, there wasn't really, you know, and as big an emphasis on singles as you would now, because now the you know, with the comeback of the vinyl record and stuff like that, I think more people are willing to press singles or EPs even. Obviously, it'd have to be on like a 10-inch or a 12-inch because it's so long, this piece. But I think that he just looked at it as another one of his 17 or 18 projects that are on the go. And this one he just happened to finish. So he just put it out there in the easiest medium that he could at the time, which is digital. Did it hinder it? I think so, because there's no question that, when you compare the amount of promotion that he does on his own for some things, doesn't equal the amount of promotion that would be done if he had some sort of a label behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. So do tell us if you know exactly how this came to be just a digital download. And certainly, I'm sure I would have bought it had it been an actual CD in a shop, or even if I had to order it back in 2011 from a website or whatever. I think I definitely would have got hold of a copy of it, but it's really passed me by. So it's thanks to Jeff Bailey, or was it Keith Hoisington? Oh, dear. I'll have to go back and look.
Jeff,
apologies.
Maybe.
Oh, it was Jeff, was it? Okay. who sent me the link to the YouTube video. However, let's talk about the music itself. And I mean, the title, just that's pure Anderson, isn't it? Open sounds like exactly the kind of thing he would be interested in being.
Absolutely. I mean, this song has, you know, obviously his stamp all over it, right from the title, as you just mentioned. I mean, like anybody who knows John Anderson well enough can obviously come to some sort of conclusion about what the song is going to be about just from the title.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agreed with you that there are echoes of all sorts of different Yes music in it. You felt there was a bit of Close to the Edge feel or mode from the beginning of it. And there's some great classical guitar that you could definitely see Steve Howe being involved with. I'll come back to that in a minute. And some great bass in there. So in terms of the question, A Thousand Hands, certainly the number of musicians seems to be quite similar. There were a lot of people involved with this one again, which makes it even more puzzling in a way, I suppose, that it didn't receive a bit more promotion because lots of people were involved. I think it's very effective. So that is a bit of a puzzle. But yes, this is much more the kind of, and having read Simon Barrow's book, I hesitate to use the word progressive, but people will know what I mean when I say that. This is a very progressive idea, this big, long four sections, but all segueing into each other as if it's a whole piece, a whole classical type of construction. So this is very much more what I was expecting Thousand Hands to be, which appears to be now. I haven't heard it in its full form yet, of course, but that seems to be a lot more song-based, a lot more small-scale pieces, songs, individual songs, rather than this epic sort of structure that we have here.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as far as I was concerned, I didn't expect A Thousand Hands to sound like this, because to me, this being, like we said, very progressive. And I think John Anderson now is kind of almost focusing on more simplistic songs in one sense. I mean, it's never really totally simplistic, but, you know, his ideas are very rooted in simplicity sometimes. I mean, just an acoustic guitar and his voice, right? Mm. And then they just add to it. And like he said, this is songs that he had as far back as 30 years ago, and they just finally worked on them and completed them. Now, it's obviously a different sort of style than Open is. And, you know, it's not any, I wouldn't say either one is better than the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thousand Hands might appeal to a lot of Yes fans, a lot of John Anderson fans and of his solo work. I think that he has songs in his catalog that kind of echo some of this stuff. Yeah. But I think that John Anderson fans would probably have preferred if he did something like this now.
Yeah. So you said, and I mentioned as well, that it was in some ways quite close to Anderson Stolt, that album, The Invention of Knowledge. And I think we've got another Anderson Stolt, allegedly, album on its way. That was the last thing I heard about that. But I was fascinated with your comments about the lack of drums. And I hadn't really realised that. But when you mentioned that, I went back and yes, absolutely, there's very little on here. But I could see this being a magnification too, because, and not just simply because it's got orchestration on it, although as I said in my piece, I'm not sure whether it's a real orchestra or a synthesized orchestra, but anyway, whatever, it sounds great. So I could see this fitting in after magnification and before Fly From Here. And I was thinking that I would have liked this very much to be, you know, in about 2005-ish, after magnification, and a continuation and an expansion of what magnification was. And I would have loved to have Squire, Howe and White, although perhaps he would have done more with it, as you were saying. But would you have preferred this to be magnification too?
Oh, absolutely. I think it had all the qualities to be a magnification part two. Again, not only because of the orchestration, but there's a lot of little hints in there. The acoustic guitar playing, the piano playing definitely hearkened to a style like a Rick Wakeman piano in parts. There's all these little sections where it kind of pricked up my ears and go, oh, you know what? I think Steve Howe would be really good replicating his style on this part here, or this section here.
Yeah.
I definitely think it could have been a magnification part two without any question.
Yeah, and you're never quite sure, are you, with John Anderson's solo efforts, whether a lot of those bits, like you say, the acoustic guitar, whether he directed that he wanted acoustic guitar here and even played a bit of it perhaps himself, although we know he's not the greatest guitarist in the world, or whether that was added by one of the collaborators. But certainly it was at some stages, I agree with you, almost as if the part was written waiting for Steve Howe to come and develop it or play it in a different way or whatever. So absolutely fascinating. So you said that you would like the new Yes album, when we get that in 2020, fingers crossed, to sound like this and to have this sort of an approach. I think actually I don't agree with that. I think that I would prefer the new Yes album to be more stripped back down. So if you think about Fragile, for example, and of course there were lots of keyboards and lots of effects and so on in there, but mainly it was just the instruments and stripped down, and you've got the vocal arrangements and the instruments, and it all just went together beautifully without trying to get to make it anything more overblown. So I think I'd prefer that. A longer form music I'm always interested in, like Open is, but for the new Yes album, I think I would steer away from the orchestral type approach and go back to a little bit of a back to basics.
Well, I mean, you know, our opinions are that, and there's neither right or wrong. But I'm kind of leery about that way for one reason. Heaven and Earth was kind of a stripped back, shorter songs bit, and we know what that resulted in. Nothing too good. I think the problem is when they decide to do something that's more stripped back, shorter, they tend to miss the mark. I think they kind of forget what it is that people love about Yes music when they approach it from that perspective. And when they do a long piece, they can't almost but help themselves to kind of reference old Yes music in that style. You know what I mean? They have to almost kind of think back to like, well, what did we do when we wrote longer songs, you know, and kind of look back to it almost as like a, you know, like going back through a photo album and trying to get some memory back of what they did back then. I think that if they were to commit themselves to doing longer pieces, that they would get closer to what Yes fans like than to do the shorter pieces. That's just my opinion. I think that they would probably be more on the mark and probably write some more adventurous music because you kind of have to approach it that way with longer pieces. The thing with playing with shorter songs is you can get away with maybe coming up with two or three parts and then you're in and out with the song, right? Yeah. And that's how usually most pop songs are, or the shorter songs are. So I'm kind of hoping for the longer pieces because I think it'll make them focus more on what Yes music is about, at least to me.
Yes, and that's a very good point, and I understand that completely. I mean, going back to Open, it's again, it's a shame that, John Anderson appears to have these this sort of flitting around thing that he does. And so he does open and then he changes direction completely and does something completely different and back again. I couldn't even begin to piece together the chronology of what he did next and what he did before this. But and it's interesting that you can hear his voice beginning to recover. It's not fantastic on open. It's great. I mean, it's fantastic to hear him, but you can hear that he's struggling more than he does now, and he certainly had a full recovery now, singing with ARW and then on Thousand Hands. It sounds like he's really recovered brilliantly, but it's a shame, because in a way I would have liked him to develop this idea more, to work with perhaps the same people again, but that's just not something we're going to get from John Anderson, is it?
Yeah, I agree 150% with you on that, because that I think if John Anderson has one major flaw, it's that. As a songwriter, he very much can't focus himself on one thing. He's like putting too many irons into the fire, and he doesn't let them stew long enough to make a really great, you know, product out of it, because he's just going to hear. I mean, people really liked Open, I thought, and if he would have continued, like you said, and maybe made more pieces and maybe put it together and made a long form album out of it, I think it would have been fantastic if he would have just sat down and focused on that direction and continue with it. But that's his problem. When you don't have him in a band situation and he's on his own, he's all over the place. He's just like a kid with, like, you know, the OCD or something. Like, he's just going crazy, just here, there, everywhere. Let's make a reggae album. No, let's do this. Let's do a harp album. Like, you don't even know what he's going to do next.
That's right. I mean, it means that we are blessed with a huge variety of different John Anderson music, of course, from, you know, something like Animation to the Yes Things, to Elias, to this, 2,000 Hands. There's certainly a wide range of different John Anderson to be excited about and to enjoy. But perhaps, yes, one day he'll... Is it going to happen now? Go back to the same group of collaborators and work again. And that's, of course, the strength of what happened. Even with the Yes's revolving door, you did have a core of people working with John Anderson over the years, producing some great Yes music. So, as usual, don't take our word for it, though. Leave us a comment on the show notes for this episode. What do you think of Open? We both absolutely loved it. And so thank you again to Jeff Bailey for pointing it out to me and, once again, finding a gaping hole in my knowledge and experience of Yes and its members. So, for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're welcome, Kevin.
Olá, sou o Miguel Falcão, de Coimbra, Portugal. Estão a ouvir o Yes Music Podcast.
Just before we go, here's the patron update. Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, VR Hoisington, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall. And Yes Music Podcast patrons are Aaron Steelman, Mark James Lang, Joost Maglev, Martin Kjellberg, Bob Martellotta, Michael O'Connor, Brian Sullivan, Miguel Falcao, Chris Bandini, Neil Caffrey, Craig Estenes, Paul Hales, Dave Owen, Paul Tomei, David Hayden, Paul Wilson, Lind, Peter Herndon, David Pannell, Lobate Scarp, Dave Watkinson, Rachel Hadaway, Dem, Mark Zarkall-Bags, Doug Curran, Robert Naser, Fergus Cubbage, Scott Colombo, Fred Barringer, Scott Smith, Jeff Bailey, Simon Barrow, Jeffrey Mason, Stephen Lamb, Guy de Rome, Steve Dill, Henrik Antonsen, Steve Perry, H.B. Peterson, do tell me how to pronounce your name, Steve Rode, Ian M.B., Steve Scott, Jamie McQuinn, Steve Raw, Ken Fuller, Terence Sadler, Jeremy North, Tim Stannard, Jim, Todd Dudley, John Cowan, Tony Handley, John Holden, Joseph Cottrell, John Parry, Keith Hoisington, John Thompson and William Hayes. Continue thanks to Robert and David. There are so many wonderful patrons now that I think I'm going to have to start reading only half each week and then alternating. We'll see how that goes. So thank you very much indeed to all those patrons. If you'd like to join them in helping support the show financially and having access to lots of exclusive content and activities, then head over to patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast or just click the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's all the time we've got this week. Thanks very much for listening once again. I do hope we'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can follow the show on Twitter
on Facebook or on Instagram. Or just drop me a line at show@yesmusicpodcast.com. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.